Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Mac Show. Yes, we're back no worries. This week, it's not just me with me here on the show. Last week, that was funny. We thought we had a show, and I was there, and I was streaming, and then miscommunication, and I was alone. So I did a alone show, the flying solo one. But yeah, this week I have a panel with me. I'm, by the way, the interim host, because the interim host, aka Jeff Gamet, is out this week. Family emergency, unfortunately, again. I hope everything is going better now. And the actual host, Ewan Rankin, should be here. Maybe he'll join us. He said he might be here, so we'll see. Maybe he'll join us later. But anyway, I have with me two really, long-running, stars of the Apple ecosystem. I don't know how to introduce you, but I'll start with Chuck, the man with always the nice shirts, and you today as well. No, it's true. Even today, it's a really cool shirt. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing good. I'm feeling a little guilty because I had to miss, I think it was two, maybe three different mm-hmm. Mac shows in a row mm-hmm. because of work obligations, yeah. Mac stock, and it just, those things don't usually line up like that or happen that often, but mm-hmm. this was one of those that did. And so I felt like I was kind of leaving you guys down, and I'm so sorry.
No, it was fine. It was mostly also that, even on the host end, there were some meltdowns where, Jeff had emergencies, I was traveling or had other meetings and just didn't work out. So, yeah, actually, I noticed that we basically didn't do a show for almost a month, but... Yeah, it's this life. Sometimes that happens, and there's not... Yeah, we couldn't do it any other way.
Yeah, anyway, we were not pod-fading, folks. We were just busy.
We were just busy, yeah. But that's it. There was a show last week. I said the last one we did was the show after .dc, basically. So that goes back a little bit. But last week, I did do a short, at least 30-minute one. Also with us here, we have also a really cool shirt, I have to say, today. Marty, how are you doing?
I realize I'm a little colorblind, and my shirt blends in with my microphone cover.
I was actually thinking that looks really cool, the purple microphone cover and the blue shirt. That's actually pretty nice.
I'm doing great. I feel it's been a long time, and, like Chuck, Mac Stock, mm-hmm. then work obligations, and then shows got canceled, it's good to be part of this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also happy to have you back. Let's talk about Mac Stock. You both went, that was last weekend. So how was it? What was your experience? What stood out?
Marty, I'll let you start.
Okay, so for me, I've been to 8 Mac Stocks. Mm-hmm. I did 2 presentations, one on Apple Intelligence, and it was the first presentation, and I was rather anxious about that, mm-hmm. and with the drive, pretty sleep-deprived, but I think it went fine, and I anticipated there would be a lot more on Apple Intelligence than mm-hmm. Apple backed off on it, so it mm-hmm. kind of left me in a lurch for presenting. And then I did a second presentation near the end, the second to the last presentation, with my son on travel tech, because we do a show, Gear Up and Go, and turned it more into a audience participation kind of thing. And so it was fun. The thing that I picked up from Mac Stock this time that I was kind of boiled over by, but all the other people who have been there for a while, like Chuck is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I get that. Was this moment of clarity, which in my field, mental health, we talk about, that clients or patients have, mm-hmm. Where I understood the connections between people and how important these folks that I've gotten to know even better over the last couple of years, how meaningful that relationship and that connection and that social network that we have together is. For me, that was the wow experience of Mac Stock this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always about the people you meet and the stories you hear about. We just talked about in the pre-show a little bit about that, how you two apparently also got a lot of inspiration for your shows individually from like people you talk to at MaxDoc, which is crazy if you think about. I mean, you've been doing it both for quite a while, and like you still get inspired.
Yeah, new workload, new workflow to add into them. From people who know how to do it.
Or how to know how to do it differently. I mean, you also know how to do it, kind of, but you did it differently, but you realize there's maybe a better way. How about you, Chuck?
I echo everything that Marty said. We also did a Max Voices Live panel discussion that sort of came about at the last minute because of some schedule changes, and that worked out really well. And Patricia, your observation is interesting because one of the things I said is this almost more than any other year was not just informational, but it was aspirational too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always come back from these things recharged, but this year, I think more so than ever before, because there were deep dives into things that, and there were so many things that I have took 5 pages of notes.
Mm-hmm.
I have this ridiculous number of action items that I want because, you know, somebody said something, it either triggered an idea or it was something that I need to check that out or I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those three things. It's always just a fantastic time. I know it requires a bit of travel and candidly a bit of expense depending on where in the world you are. But I don't know three other days of the year that I get that much out of that in that way. I mean, I get a lot out of CES. I always get a lot out of NAB. But this is so focused on everything that I do and the tools that I work with. I can't say enough good things about it. So, we should also mention, at the risk of sounding like this is a commercial, if you couldn't go, you still will be able to get the videos from all the sessions in Mike's. What is it, Marty? I keep wanting to call it a virtual ticket. It's digital tickets.
I think it's a digital ticket.
It's on max.conference.com, but it's, you know, spend the money and get it. And then you can spend 3 days watching everything and get this, hopefully get the same thing. It's not quite the same as being in the room for the aspirational stuff, but and the motivational, but the information is definitely there.
You'll have 3 days of videos that'll take you about 9 days to get through because you'll be stopping them to take down notes, to check out something somebody's just said. And it's good content, really good content.
So basically on par with the WWDC like developer videos, because they're like that as well, where you're like constantly stopping and reading up on stuff and whatever. So that's good.
Yeah, not being a developer, I can't confirm that, Patrice. But if that's the way it is, yes, then that's the case. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that shows it how useful and helpful those videos really are, and those talks. All right, should we jump into Apple news? What happened? There is actually news. Like surprisingly, I was kind of expecting we might be jumping into Summer of Fun soon, but at least this week I still have a couple things. Let's start us off with Apple suing someone. That's in itself not such a surprise, I would say. Apple sues people all the time. But in this case, it's interesting because Apple is suing John Prosser over another person over the iOS 26 leaks, or at least that's how Apple presents it. John Prosser, you might, or people might know, he's one of the people usually, let's say, leaking or predicting, whatever you want to call it, a lot of things around what Apple is doing. He definitely does have some insight sources. That's also the part of the problem right now. And so interesting thing. I did not read the full article, but basically Apple's complaint is saying that through like a series of events that led to leaks around the development iPhone, that another person called Michael Ramasciotti, I guess, that Prosser got access to that, or it was actually a friend of Michael who had that phone, and they got access to it, and Ethan Lipnick is the name of the employee that apparently gave them the phone or gave them access to it. And I think the sticking point here is well, not the access, because that is, I would say, a problem with the employee, but that they plotted to access the phone, acquiring his passcode and using location tracking to determine when he would be gone for an extended period so that they could access the phone and whatever. And apparently Prosser, according to Apple, according to what's filed, we'll see how much of that is actually true or can be proven at least as true in a legal sense. But apparently Prosser also offered financial compensation in return for assisting to Ramaciotti in return for assisting with accessing this development phone. Which, yeah, okay, that's then, if that's true, that gets, I think, into murky legal territory, I would say.
Yeah, and his comment was, my story is not exactly what Apple's story is. Well, yeah, that's why you have a case.
Yes.
Well, as soon as you, and if it's true, as soon as there has been money or opportunities exchanged, then it makes your case pretty shaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's, as I said, there's always three sides to that, probably, right? There's Apple's side, there's Prosser's side, and there's probably the truth. So we'll see how that turns out. But yeah, of course, I mean, he has a different perspective on it.
And, you know, I'm a business guy, and I'm not, I do not like lawsuits. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, I have zero respect for anyone who is leaking information.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Prosser has been known to do this. I don't know what his sources have been in the past or how, but mm-hmm. there are 5 dozen business reasons that you don't want your product information leaked ahead of time. Plus the fact that just as a user, it spoils the surprise that, you know, the Steve Jobs one more thing that, you know, we all used to enjoy. And now there are too many people analyzing the supply chains and picking apart every single detail to generate clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no different than that,
yeah.
Except that's,
yeah,
that's detective work. This, mm-hmm, depending on the version of the story, this doesn't sound like detective work. It could be fortuitous or, mm-hmm, it could be malicious.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's just not right. And so, you know, good for Apple, and I hope that they, the, yeah, penalty, assuming that the allegations are correct, I hope, yeah, the penalty is sufficient to keep Prosser from ever even contemplating it, and, mm-hmm, other people from contemplating it ever,
yeah,
again.
Yeah. I mean,
does Prosser, I mean, if this were to go through and Prosser is found guilty of these charges, that kind of ruins his reputation in terms of, it's not just the impact financially on him, but it's also, there goes the job, you know, mm-hmm, in terms of writing or in terms of,
yeah,
producing information.
I don't know. I think that, I mean, since he is, I'm guessing he's self-employed, he's running his own company. I don't know. You know, in this world, it's possible that doesn't matter at all, because people are like, facts be damned. I want the information. Right. We don't know.
Patrice, I've had discussions, sometimes heated, with journalists,
mm-hmm,
who feel like anything they can get their hands on is fair game.
Yeah.
To, you know, to be under the, yeah, heading, the public has a right to know.
Yeah.
And I don't buy that. You know, if Jeff were here, mm-hmm, you know, I would challenge him to say, the public does not have a right to know what's in my underpants drawer. I mean, so Jeff, there you go.
Show
but,
title.
No, yeah, thanks a lot. The public doesn't have a right to know the private dealings of a company. It just, I mean, from a shareholder perspective and just, I think, from a decency perspective. And yet the world we live in seems to have developed this, I have a right to know anything at any time,
mm-hmm,
no matter how much you don't want me to know it. So I cannot buy into that, and I don't like it. And I hope that this is one thing that maybe makes people think a little, mm, bit before they do it.
Yeah,
I mean, and, mm-hmm, you know, the idea of public transparency in a private enterprise is kind of crazy. I think we see that in politics and we see that in celebrity, that there's some expectation of transparency, particularly in politics and government officials.
Yeah.
We don't get it all the time, but in private enterprise, there's a reason why they keep things private.
Yeah, I mean, it has limits, and I would disagree on a small point there. I think overall, Chuck, you're right, but there is sometimes a public interest that is correct. If a company is doing something shady and something illegal, okay, that is a different story. But
agreed.
Just because they're doing something, whatever it is internally, doesn't mean everybody needs to know.
Yes, agreed 100%, Patrice. And look, and that goes for government too.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, there are things within the government, especially the intelligence community that have no business being disclosed.
Yes.
Because people get killed over that information.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know, but somebody that figures, oh, that everybody has a right to know about this stuff.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. There is a place where investigative journalism does.
Yeah, it's just
is justified.
Yeah. It's a balance at the end. Like it has its place, but it's not like you have to balance it with also the damage sometimes or the. Is it really a benefit if I know that Tim Cook showers every morning at 5:30? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how this turns out, right? At the end, it's hard to say because just to play devil's advocate for a second, I can also see another side to this to say. I mean, Apple probably doesn't like information being leaked. But that's also, to some extent, an internal problem with their employees. And you could argue and say, well, Prosser, if he didn't, like, let's assume he didn't do anything bad and didn't steal data, whatever. He just, like, someone gave it to him. Let's assume that. Let's say that's the story. Apple might still, because Apple is a pretty big and powerful and rich company, and they might want to suppress that kind of leaks and information through means of I'll sue you because I can afford it. I can afford a million lawyers that cost a trillion a day, and you can, so you're going to lose that battle. And companies have done that in the past, so it's not unheard of. I don't know if this is the case here now, but you could see it that way and say, okay, maybe that's also one possibility that Apple is using that tactic to shut him down.
Go ahead, Chuck, Marty.
Well, I was going to say, I think we've seen some shifting in Apple's positions within them that might be related to where the leaks are coming from, because Apple wants to shut that down. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, if this guy's job is, you know, a front page tech and a Genius Bar podcast and YouTube channels covering information, I think that it's going to be even tighter for him to try and get information from Apple in the future.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Which is where I say it affects his job. But
yeah.
Yeah. Apple doesn't usually do things like this unless they are really, really certain of because they don't like to lose. And it's not even a case of investing the money. It's just I don't think they want to have a lot of losses in their scorecard.
I think it's the public side that they don't want.
Perception.
But also sometimes lawsuits like that, they have to disclose certain information that they don't want to.
Absolutely. And so you know that somewhere deep inside Cupertino, the math is being done on what might we have to disclose versus the benefit of going after this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I have no knowledge of the allegations.
Yeah.
So let's make that clear. You know, we're going here assuming that Prosser did something wrong. Maybe if he can prove himself innocent, great. But I would be surprised if there's not at least some truth to the allegations.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't mean that there is.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, we'd have to look at what was filed at the end. But I mean, You're right. I mean, it's not unheard of. I mean, remember the whole iPhone, was it 4, I think, thing with who was that? Engadget? Who was that?
I think that wasn't.
The bar where they someone left it in the bar and then
Yeah.
they got it. I mean, Apple went, I think, wrongly, and that was probably Steve Jobs is doing, went pretty hard and tried to lean on like a lot of like also people in the law enforcement to get them to do certain things that they thought was fair, which absolutely was not. So it's not unheard of that Apple does it like as a kind of a reactionary thing. But as I said, that was probably also a big chunk. Steve Jobs, who was probably really livid that someone stole his precious prototype.
Let me ask you both a question, because I firmly believe that I would have done this, but if I had picked up that phone and had any idea that this was a prototype, I would not have called a news or one of the tech news services or whatever. I would have done my best to return it back to the owner. Just like if I found Marty's phone laying on a chair at MacStock, if I could identify it as Marty's, I'd have done my best to find him, not called, Tech Meme and said, "Oh, guess what? Marty left his phone." I mean, that's where I feel like this culture is rewarding this kind of thing for someone's 15 minutes of fame. So, would you two have what would you two have done?
That is a difficult question.
Mama raised me right. I probably would have tried to find the owner versus calling a tech company. And then there's that little devil sitting on my shoulder that would say, "Sell it, put it on eBay."
No,
But no, I would have tried to find the owner, or not bear. Barring that, I'd turn it over to the police, and they would sell it to Engadget. So,
Maybe that,
but morally, I am free from any,
it's
bad
a
karma.
really difficult question because there's the question like if it was me as in me, I probably would be answering the same as you. I would be like I probably would have called someone at Apple and be like, hey, I found a prototype and maybe made a deal with them to say I'll return it to you and give me a free iPhone or whatever. Like, or they would just do it. I probably wouldn't have asked for anything because I'm too nice for that. If I was a journal, it was that journalist. I'm not so sure, because as you said, there is incentives in place to have stories like that. And I mean, to be fair, I don't think it was anything illegal they did. They found a phone. They had every right to look. I mean, they had every right to look at it and say, "Hey, this is a new iPhone," and talk about that. I don't. They did not do. And I mean, that's what also the law at the end said. There was nothing illegal. They didn't steal it. They did return it at the end. So, but there were some things I would say that they did that were questionable. But I think I can understand intellectually in that position that someone would say, "Well, oh, this is the story of a century. I just found a new iPhone."
Yeah, but the burden of proof of not stealing it is on me then,
Exactly, that's the problem.
and so if I'm going to do a, if I'm going to put it to a tech news media outlet, then I'm whether Apple comes at me or not, it's still the burden of proof that I didn't steal it.
Absolutely.
And
Yes. And you have to balance that.
the company who's going to put this information out better lawyer up. I mean, that's
And I think in the long run, I think it was not a good idea because, like, I mean, they got banned from events at Apple and whatever, and I think that's also not a smart business decision. So maybe in the end it didn't pay out. But as I said, I can understand the incentives behind it, at least to say. As I said, personally, I would have been like, yeah, Apple, call here, you can have it again. Like, I don't
And
really care.
Patrice, to your earlier comments regarding Apple's encouraging of law enforcement, look, at the end of the day, that there's a lot of money on the line, for someone if the wrong people got a hold of it and reverse engineered it. So, you know.
Yeah. Not really. It was not. It was not that much lead, like lead time to the actual release of the phone that would have mattered. I don't think so. No, I think
I guess the thing. My point is though that it still represented trade secrets.
Oh, 100%.
That would have, you know, and so as a result, yes, I would have done everything I could, including trying to influence somebody. Even I want to push them to the line. I want to push them to the line. I don't want them to cross it.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that, you know.
There were some questionable things that happened in that context. And as I said, I'm not sure everything was like 100% how it should have been also on the moral side. But as I said, it's for sure, I mean, also an understandable reaction. Like you've been in secret with like a lot of effort also keeping it secret. Worked on your baby basically the next thing. And then it kind of gets out before you get the big moment of revealing it.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, but that's short term. I mean, that's really short term thinking on part of the media outlet. Oh, it's sort of the phone's going to come out in a couple of months. Yes. We'll have an article here that gets lots of clicks. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to get into a litigation with Apple. Yes. And we're going to get banned from Apple events.
Yeah, exactly. I think that part.
Long range thinking.
They did not
think
through.
Or maybe we could turn the phone back to Apple.
Yeah.
And Apple might give us some better access.
Yeah, exactly. That was not very much thought through, I think. That was the problem.
Yeah. Well, it's the instant gratification culture we live in. You know, I found this pen, you know, and this was used to sign the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And, well, maybe not this one. And maybe you know, and it's like, oh, so you know, and I don't know, I just
I've been looking for that pen, Chuck.
You stole it from Chuck, from Marty, actually.
I stole it at MacStock, yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't turn it over to a media outlet. Because if that pen could talk, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what this pen has been used to write? I mean, come on.
So, a little bit more lighthearted story. Emojis, World Emoji Day happened. The Unicode Consortium confirmed the new emoji characters that will be added to Unicode 17 in the fall. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Like the trombone, a treasure chest, a distorted face, a hairy creature, kind of a, I don't know, gorilla, something. Bigfoot, could also Sasquatch, a fight cloud, an apple core, but like an actual apple, like the fruit, an orca, and ballet dancers. And Apple will add all those also to iOS 26, to an iOS 26 update next year. As usual, it's usually 26.3, 26.4, something like that. We got it in 18.4 this year, so nothing new. Are you at all excited about new emoji? Doesn't sound like it.
I looked at them and I thought, okay, this is another thing that, you know, at some point one or two of them might be usable. But I'm looking forward to finding a reason to send someone the Bigfoot emoji.
Don't know. Can you talk to Ewan? No, I'm kidding.
She said Ewan. I didn't.
Ewan is actually quite tall, so. Yeah, not very.
I think you're
though,
talking.
So.
Maybe I'm not speaking properly for Chuck, but I think you're talking to the wrong generation when you ask Chuck and me about emojis.
That's true.
I never got them. And then the few times I try to use them, it's like, oh, this would be nice. I will text. I'll write out the text to be kind to whoever's getting it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll look for the perfect emoji. And I think, well, surely they have an emoji on this.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they have an emoji on ballet dancers, or they're going to have them. They should have an emoji on this. And I search emojis and it's like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, anything there other than fluff doesn't help me with communication. So, I've done this the last three or four times I've tried to text. It's inspired me to search for an emoji.
Yeah.
Not in the pool.
Not in the pool, but maybe now it is. So maybe now you can send the Sasquatch emoji.
Yeah, all the text messages I do with Sasquatch, now I finally got something I can send him.
Good.
Or her. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? There's a second. Go check.
Oh, well, just the people that I mean, listen to this. Marty's right. You know, I think it may be a generational thing because the people that speak in emoji, it's like I have to spend time trying to translate it. And so, you know, and some of them are very obvious, but others mm-hmm. are kind of deep. Yeah. And it's like, wow, you know, this is like just deciphering a foreign language.
See, now there's also a game for you. So that's a perfect transition to the second article in this area. There's a game for you that will help you with training to do that. Because Apple has also released a emoji game in Apple News Plus, so for Apple News Plus subscribers, where you can basically, you get words with like blanks in them and then like a bunch of emoji, and you basically have to figure out which ones would fit in there. So that's also, you can train now your emoji game and your interpretation game. So the screenshots are, for example, there's like a this app, and then the this app is a word, and then blanks, and the pear emoji is the one. So for disappear, I guess, is the one that would fit in there. So yeah, I guess you will have to play that game, Chuck.
No. No.
Although you know in.
You're couching it as a training thing is really interesting, Patrice, but no, I'm not biting. No.
Okay, I tried.
Yeah, unless it teaches me how to do obscenities or obscene mm-hmm. phrases with emojis, yeah. Then I'm not. We have a long-running game show in the United States called Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
And when mm-hmm. I looked at it, it sort of looks like,
yes.
You know, you've got Vanna emoji. White turning emojis for you.
Hey, maybe that's a new version of Wheel of Fortune for the next generation, like with emoji.
I think Marty just predicted something. Yeah, I'm with you, please.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to mention, there was also an article about the top 10 emoji in the US. If you're interested, I put it in the chat. We don't have to talk about it. What I actually want to talk about is the last story for today. There could be potentially a ban for certain iPhone models in the US. So the story is that there was a certain patent, I think, on the displays, OLED displays. The Chinese display maker BOE infringed on Samsung OLEDs on the trade secrets. And there was a injunction, at least for now. A preliminary ruling that those by the ITC, the International Trade Commission, that they violated the U.S. Tariffs Act and like I said, the patents, and that would mean that in fact some iPhone 15s, 15 Plus, 16, 16 Plus, and 16e models sold in the U.S. that contain those specific models, and it's not all of them. Because Apple uses different display manufacturers all the time. Depends on where they were produced and whatever, that they could be banned, basically. Well, I mean, not banned in the sense of you can't use them anymore, but Apple will not be able to sell phones that have that display. They just have to, well, at the end, they just have to sell the ones that don't have it. So it's not a big deal for Apple, I guess. They just sell the phones that have this display in Germany or in Europe or somewhere else. So, but yeah, it's an interesting problem for Apple, right? With everything going on in the world. It's like another thing.
This seems to be sort of a backdoor way to take a slap at Apple. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Chinese company did the bad stuff by stealing Samsung stuff, and mm-hmm. now they're taking it out on everybody. But here's an opportunity to stick it to Apple with some of these tariffs and the brilliant stuff that's going on in American politics these days. And, you know, it's the United States International Trade Commission and the U.S. Tariff Act that they're acting upon. So this mm-hmm. is political.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Samsung filed the allegations, right? So it was Samsung who brought this up originally. But I mean, of course, they also kind of have to because they have to protect their patents, and otherwise they lose them.
Yeah, if this can be settled, the settlement numbers are going to be very interesting, or settlement terms mm-hmm. are going to be really interesting. Because this, but I think Marty's hit it. This feels like there's at least a political component mm-hmm. to this. Whether that's the driving component or not, I don't know, but it feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, it pops up these days more. I mean, we had the, what was it, Massimo thing with the Apple Watch sensors. Right. We've had this. Yeah, I mean, in a complex supply chain like Apple's, this is always possible. The more parts and the more manufacturers you have in the mix, especially for the same part, the more there's a risk that something, let's call it, falls through the cracks. Yeah. On purpose or not. By the way, this is not the final decision. That one is expected in November. And then the president, of course, has, in theory, a right to veto or approve this ruling, which I think nobody could predict how that would end up.
Yeah, you'd like to think that the answer is obvious.
Yeah,
as to mm-hmm. what, if you're going to forget maybe what the right and wrong answer mm-hmm. is, but what the right answer is for Apple as an American company and for the consumer. Mm-hmm. But that seems to have little to do with, if anything, to do with some of the decisions that are being made.
Yeah.
God, Chuck, you are so tactful in saying what I would not be able to say.
Yeah, he's good.
With the same sort of panache that you do when you say things.
I'll take that as a compliment, Marty, until it's proved otherwise. So thank you.
I think it was meant that way. Anyway, we should talk really briefly about our sponsor for this show, which is kind of a new sponsor. It is Awe Technologies, AWE, technologies.co.uk, a really good company for, let's call it construction site monitoring. They're doing it a lot with like train track and train constructions of all sorts in around the UK. That was a really cool project Ewan posted about, I think with like an older, like museum train track, whatever society, I've forgotten what the name of it was. But it was really cool to see that. You can see like with different cameras and sensors and whatever, you can see like the noise, the dust, the temperatures, vibrations. Like all kinds of environmental things. You also have the videos or still frames. It's kind of pictures that it takes, but then you can like run it in like a video and see that, and you can like analyze it. I know that Ewan mentioned they use it to analyze also processes, like where can they be optimized, maybe make it a little bit more like faster and more efficient, all of that. So it's really cool technology in general, and they're expanding it constantly. And I heard they have some really cool new sensors coming up, so that will be interesting. And so they sponsor our servers. So that's why we have them. Thank you, Awe Technologies. If you have anywhere in the world a construction site that could benefit from that, reach out to them. Like Ewan and Anders are really good. And as I said, they've been doing it for a couple of years quite a long time all around the UK. But he said, like, if someone has in, I don't know, Thailand a project, or in Switzerland or whatever, hey, Austria, like, reach out to them or in the US. Yeah, let's do some cool things. So who has a cool thing for us today?
I got something in the chat.
Sure.
And I want to, and if Jeff was here, I would bet this would be one of his cool things. So suck it, Jeff. I got it in before you did. This is the Ozbot Meet 2. It's a 4K webcam.
Yes.
And it is tiny. Yes. And I'm thinking of it in terms of travel and mm-hmm. when I have to do cams from wherever I'm going.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and picked it up and got it. I'm using it right now. And so this video is being done through that cam. I haven't quite worked out the lighting yet and haven't quite worked out that kind of stuff, but it is really a remarkable camera. And Mike Schmidt, who was also at MacStock, mentioned an armature that he uses that I've added in. And so this is now the camera construction I have because I used to use a Plexicam. And for me, the thing about Plexicam has come out with this one that's called, I think, a mag plex that will actually attach to your monitor. The problem is with Apple Studio monitors, they're too thick for that to happen. So I had to resort to the old Plexicam, which hangs the camera in the middle of your screen with plexiglass, I guess, armatures on it. But I always feel like when I'm doing a show, I have to go back and forth to look at different sides of the camera. This armature and this combination of this new camera, I just have it drop down in my screen and I have the full range of content on my screen. So that's my cool thing. It's the Osbot Meet 2 4K webcam. And a suggestion from Mike Schmidt about the this is a overhead camera mount desk stand, three section flexible detachable articulating arm. It's really kind of nice.
Yeah, that's
It's
a
the DeMaltlior store, I guess. It's DeMaltlior who's selling it.
It's I had actually on Wednesday, I want to say, yeah, when we recorded Retro Rewatch, Jeff and I had a discussion about that, and I have the Tiny 2 OBSpot, which is the pan-tilt zoom one. I mean, OBSpots are really good cameras. And I use a small rig, kind of a monopod, basically attached to my desk, and I have also like other small rig things. We talked about that. So yeah, I highly, highly, highly recommend what you said. Like, it's
Yeah,
really
and
good
so
camera.
$129 on Amazon right now.
Yeah,
So you can't
that's
beat that for a 4K.
exactly. No, for 4K, and it's really good 4K. It's not crap 4K. It's really good 4K. Jeff mentioned actually he switched it down to 1080 because he was like, for some reason, he wanted to save the bits. I don't know why. And I was like, and he realized that like it seemed to have a little bit problem with focusing, and then he switched it back to 4K. And I'm like, yeah, what's the point? I mean, if you use it with zoom or whatever, it's gonna anyway compress it down to whatever it wants. Like zoom, I think usually does 720p, so it doesn't matter for that. You can have it at 4K for yourself, and it will just handle it in the back end. So don't worry about it. But the quality is so good. I noticed immediately. Like Jeff came on, and I'm like, wow. I mean, the field of view is a little bit different, and it really does look different. I mean, he had a C920 before,
Yeah.
so that's like
We
a
joked about that at
15-year-old
MacStock.
camera or
Everybody
something.
started laughing when I guess it was
Doc, I
Doc
think.
Rock said, "You might be running a C920. It's
I
time
see.
to,"
Yes.
and we all laughed.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, the C920 was a great camera and it still works just fine, but the quality is just not the same anymore. And the app from OBSpot, the OBSpot Center, is really, really good too. I travel with
Yeah,
my
I'm gonna
OBSpot, like
think.
my Tiny 2, all the time. Like it's like just a really good, really good camera. Jeff, you have also like a cool TV show.
Well, I'm Chuck, not
Oh,
Jeff.
Jeff. We
But
talk about Jeff. Sorry, sorry,
yeah, Jeff
Chuck.
on the mind, the underpants.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't usually pick TV shows, but
Me
this one came across. Frankly, I found this kind of by accident because I didn't even know it existed. If you remember a show called Orphan Black a number of years
too.
back,
Ooh,
it was so good.
Yes.
Well, there was a there is a one I can't talk. One season series called Orphan Black Echoes. It only ran for one season, but I have really enjoyed it. It's set in the same universe. It's set after a number of years after the original series. It's a little The original series was weird because it was somewhat comedic, somewhat mm-hmm. dark, somewhat dramatic.
Yeah,
this,
all of it.
This one is, yeah, this one, there's not much comedy. In fact, I'm not sure there's any comedy, but it is definitely sort of in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to avoid any spoilers. If you saw off Orphan Black, then you know sort of the basic premise.
Yeah.
This one is a little bit different,
yeah.
But I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And so if you liked Orphan Black, or if you just like sci-fi that isn't, you know, necessarily spaceships and all, but is a bit more, maybe not ready to say cerebral, but just a little more serious, check this out. It is really, really well done.
Yeah, I mean, the original Orphan Black is, I mean, Tatiana Maslany and like all those different characters is just like really great. And I will definitely watch this. I did not know that existed. So,
yeah, Patrice, I don't even remember how I stumbled across it, but mm-hmm. it's like, really? You know, how did I not know about this? At least to try it. And I was really, really pleased to find that it was it was different, but in my mm-hmm. opinion, it was just as good as the first.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I'll watch that. I also have a cool thing that is a TV show related, since this week we got a new season, or start of a new season of Strange New Worlds, Star Trek Strange New Worlds. So I've only watched the first episode, thanks to Paramount Plus, because the app just sucks. So no, I'm sorry, it's like their crap half of the time doesn't work properly, so I'm sorry. It works, it doesn't work, it locks you out, it locks you in, like it's just all over the place. So if you're in, I think mostly in the US, because other countries they stream it on other services, but I am the US side still, then you have to deal with that, and yeah, it sucks. So, but it's a cool show, as you know, and the last season ended on a cliffhanger. So I'm not going to tell you anything what happened last season, what happened this season. If you haven't watched it, I saw that someone said in the chat in the Slack room that they hadn't. So go watch it. It's really good. It's a great, like really Star Trek show. It's kind of old school in a way, but with a modern twist. So a nice blend. And this new season, I've been looking forward to it like for a long time. I was really craving Star Trek. I mean, fortunately, there's still Mission Log and they're still rewatching Voyager, so at least I had some Star Trek in my life.
So, Patrice, without asking any details, because mm-hmm. now you've got me real excited about this third season coming mm-hmm. up. It's been a while since I've watched season two, and I mm-hmm. know there was a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
If I start now, am I going to have to go? I mean, will there be enough at the front end for me to for it to connect my memory?
And I think
go,
so.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
They do kind of extend it previously on where they tell you what happened before they go.
Okay.
In. So yes. Right. Yeah.
I know this is out. I just obviously didn't have a chance to watch it last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I at the risk of drawing someone's ire, if you were just a little soured on Star Trek because of Star Trek Discovery,
mm-hmm.
Give Strange New Worlds a chance.
Yeah.
Because it feels so much more like what you would expect.
Yeah. If you're an original series fan, then that's probably closer to what you would expect.
Mm. Yeah, and look, yeah. Discovery had some great moments. I think they missed the mark.
No, it's still
really?
My favorite.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then we have to have a conversation about this, but we'll do that later. Yeah, but you know, it went in a couple different mm-hmm. took it on a couple different angles. So, but yeah, look, there is no bad Star Trek. That's the in my opinion, that's a good thing.
100%.
But Strange New Worlds feels like a little more of a return mm-hmm. to form.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing. My absolute all-time favorite Star Trek episode is a Strange New World episode, because it's the musical episode they did last season. That was so good. No, I mean, it sounds crazy, right? A musical episode in Star Trek. But it was because most of the actors have actually like a background.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, I've been trying to convince
story. It was a musical story. It was not just, oh, people are singing. It's weird. No, it was a story, and that was really good.
Yeah, I've tried to convince my daughter to try Strange New Worlds, and particularly with the musical episode, because she teaches voice. She is familiar with a couple of the actors who have appeared in Broadway and have really good voice training, and she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't sit down and watch it. I think maybe we did sit down and watch it together just because of the surprise.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. And the, you know, the other thing too, since now we're off on a Star Trek rant, that I really like about what Strange New Worlds, I was not a fan of the musical episode. Fortunately, it did have a story to it.
Yes.
So, you know, that's great. But they're trying things.
Yes.
And the crossover with the Lower Decks series.
That was so cool. Yeah. Yes.
So many different things that, you know, so they're playing. Star Trek overall is starting to play with more.
Mm-hmm.
If Star Trek Prodigy was, you know, it was supposed to be for kids, but. Yeah.
It wasn't.
Nah, it was more for adults. In fact, if anything, I think Lower Decks was more for kids.
So,
you know, it they're trying different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may not be popular with, everything may not be popular with the fan base, but I love the experimentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also finding new fans sometimes is also important.
Yeah.
So out of curiosity, I just checked Strange New Worlds, and you might know this already. Strange New Worlds has been renewed for a fourth and a fifth season.
Yes.
With the fourth season production kind of being wrapped up and showing somewhere mid to late 2026.
Yep.
And there's no projection right now. Season five will be the last. Mm-hmm. It'll be a shortened season with only six episodes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's already announced. I mean, doesn't mean it can't change. But I mean, given the struggles that Paramount is having right now on the financial side, I'm kind of expecting that, sad as it is. I mean, they've already shut down most other shows, but there's still other stuff that might be coming. I mean, we'll see. There's the whole Starfleet Academy that's coming. That's going to be interesting. I'm still hoping for... what was it called? At the end of Picard, they basically teased kind of did a mini pilot for another really interesting series, and I'm blanking on the name. It had even a name.
Oh, yeah, that had to do with Seven.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Rafi. Yeah.
I'm blanking on it. Legacy, was it, maybe?
That sounds right.
Sounds about right, yeah. So something like that. So I hope that we get more Star Trek again, because right now it's more okay stuff. I mean, Discovery ended... Prodigy ended, Lower Decks ended, Strange New Worlds. I mean, sure, we have another 2 years, but then also ends. So I'm hoping we get more.
Well, Paramount has had to pay some bribe money lately. and it just announced that they canceled Colbert. Really? So they're going to need all the thumbs up they can get.
Yeah, or Apple should just acquire them, right? Bringing it back.
You know, I've heard worse ideas, Patrice.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I think it would be content-wise, there's a lot of overlap, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning thinking, because I read an article that, well, it was in, I think, in Dave's show last night, but we didn't get to it, about how many Emmy nominations Apple has acquired this year with their product. And I was like, is Apple trying to be CBS or an NBC or a Paramount or whatever? And I think, you know, they're more of a...
More HBO.
They're doing media, but they're more of a... it's kind of an artisan approach to it instead of a, show approach to it.
Yeah,
it's series approach to it.
Instead of filling 24 hours a day with content... They're more you watch 1 hour a day or whatever, but it's really good. Something like that.
Yeah.
Or two. Yeah, 81. I had the article in my list, but we ran out of time. 81 nominations, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But think back to when Apple TV Plus was originally announced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that long ago. It was about, Tim Cook said it's about the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they have really, whether you realize it or not, they've stayed true to that vision. And it's bearing fruit. You know, yes, there have been some high profile flops on the mm-hmm. movie side,
yeah.
But on the series side, they have really hit a bunch of home runs.
Yes, mostly. I mean, here or there, there were some that were not as good, but still good. So,
right.
Yeah. You're right. All right. You know what's also good? We should end this episode and tell people where they can find out more about you. So I'll start with Marty. Marty, I know you have a bunch of really cool shows, so let people know about that.
Yeah, I'll just talk about one and then other shows I'm on and tell mm-hmm. people where they can find me. I'm at Gencius, Gencius, at mastodon.social or at Blue Sky, Gencius. The show that I focus on a lot is Vision Profiles, which is about Apple Vision Pro products and other AR, VR products. I do it with Eric Bolden and Dave Ginsberg, and Daniel Burkholder joins us. Mm-hmm. And we try to keep up with the weekly news that's available about the Apple Vision Pro and yeah. other products that other companies are putting out. Tuesday nights, I'm with Chuck on Mac Voices. Thursdays, I'm with Dave and Chuck on In Touch with iOS. Fridays, when I can make it here, and I'm playing hooky from work. But the rest of the stuff that I do, Old Mac Gang, Gear Up and Go with my son, all of mm-hmm. those podcasts, you can find links to at thepodtalk.net. That's the website for that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Great.
Very cool content. I also like the stuff with your son. So always enjoyable. Chuck, I mean, you're always crazy with your content. You go like every 2 months to a show and record 17 gazillion hours of video and then post that in 3 days. Like that's what it feels like. I mean, it's you always have so much content and it's so good. So when is the next big show for you coming up, and where can people find more about you?
So let's take this the whole full circle. My absolute intent was to film a lot of interviews at MacStock,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't happen. I think I got two interviews because uh-huh. I didn't want to be out of the room for the yeah. actual presentation.
Makes sense.
And the audience didn't want to be out of the room for the presentations. So that sort of, you know, it was mm-hmm. well laid plans and just didn't mm-hmm. work out. But CES will be the next big one.
Okay. So well, that's just a little bit away. So.
Yeah, but in the meantime, there are plans afoot for a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that will appear at macvoices.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the live show, of course, Tuesday nights on YouTube at youtube.com/macvoicesTV.
Mm-hmm.
But Marty's there on a regular basis. Patrice, whenever she feels like staying up really, really late
mm-hmm.
or early, depending on how you look at it. On all the socials, you can yeah. find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I was just doing the math. I think we're 4 months away from the Mac Voices gift guides. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's the other thing.
That's the next thing.
Become a regular thing. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun to do those. Yeah, about me and about British Tech Network, you can find me every week, almost every week here on the Big Show and on the Mac Show, except for the weeks where I'm traveling, like next week. So next week I'll be out and hopefully there will be shows, but we'll see. Jeff should be able to do it. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, and with the aforementioned Jeff, I have Retro Rewatch, and I always like to show the mark because it's so cool. I know that he also brought some stickers to MacStock.
Yep.
We just wrapped up season 2 of Stargate SG-1, so another TV show. Ooh, nice. I see the sticker on Marty's, and you have a really nice collection of stickers on your MacBook. We just wrapped up season 2 of Stargate SG-1, another really cool like sci-fi show, also a long time ago. And we are today about to publish our season 2 recap. So that should be out. The editing workflow that we talked about earlier before in the pre-show will kick in a couple hours, and then I'll publish the next episode. So. And then I have, after that, for next week, a really special episode. We did watch another show, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. It's also an older show, also that in the 25-ish years range, and it's not sci-fi. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
So it's going to be interesting. What did we watch, and what did Jeff think? So we'll see. Yeah. And yeah, British Tech Network. We are on Mastodon at britishtech@techhangout.social. We are also on Blue Sky at britishtechnetwork.com. And we also have, I think we're still on X, but you would have to ask Ewan because I don't really use X. I think we're still at British Tech on X. But we have an email address, if you, that's probably the easiest. Send us an email at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Yeah, and with that, thanks for listening. Thank you so much to you two for being here, for everybody, if there was someone in the chat room, for being there, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.